The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, March 11th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could make it with us on our journey to our cannabis freedom. It's going to take a lot of steps to get there, but those steps are getting bigger and faster as time goes along. Hell, 10 years from now, we're going to look back and wonder why marijuana was illegal in the first place, at least in a lot of states. I don't know if we'll get legalization in every state in 10 years, but I have my hopes up. I believe in all the states out there. I believe there's legalizers in Texas and in Minnesota and in Ohio and all over this great country that want to see an end to cannabis prohibition. And with the results we're seeing from the first two states, I think they're going to be eager to jump on board. On today's show, we're going to be talking about getting marijuana legalized. In the Radical Rant, we're going to talk about how your true legalization means nothing if it doesn't get on the ballot. The art of political compromise coming up in the Radical Rant. At half past, we're going to do a little drug war data mining and show you how to find information on currently filed bills, old bills, and all sorts of references for finding out the laws, the currently existing laws on marijuana. So stay tuned for that. It's a kind of a guided tour through some of my favorite research internet sites. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines because the California Chiefs of Police and the League of Cities, or whatever the hell they're called, they've gotten together to propose a bill to regulate medical marijuana in California. And it's pretty awful. We're going to take a look behind the headlines and show you all the details in that new Senate Bill 1262 to regulate marijuana dispensaries in California. Also, today is Electric Tuesday, so Electric Bob will be calling in for our daily Toker Tunes. And he's got a great tune coming up for us today from a group that was called Solar Stone, I think. And the tune is called Voyager. I wonder if that has anything to do with Carl Sagan and the new Cosmos series that's out, but we'll ask him about that at 20 after. But the first thing we've got to get to is our 420 radio news. We're in the headlines. The news I've been waiting for, folks. You know how I love data. We have got the data on sales and tax revenues from Colorado's first month of recreational marijuana sales, and it's wonderful news. Also, they're talking legalization in Missouri. The LA city attorney is kind of playing in both sides of the medical marijuana issue. Washington, D.C. can go ahead and petition for legalization, and a study from the Rand Corp says pot is up and cocaine is down. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Four20 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Colorado sold $14 million in recreational marijuana in the month of January, netting $2.1 million in tax revenue. In addition, medical marijuana still outsold recreational marijuana, generating $31 million in sales and netting $1.4 million in taxes. While initial sales figures may be higher than expected due to the rush of customers seeking the novelty of their first legal buy, the few stores that opened often restricted their recreational sales due to low supply. As more stores open and allow more sales, sales and tax figures may rise. However, that may be offset by drops in price as more outlets enter market competition. Governor Hickenlooper's office estimates recreational sales will raise more than $35 million in taxes by the end of June. Any way you slice it, it's $45 million of marijuana not sold by criminals and $3.5 million in tax revenue with no appreciable increase in social costs. The Missouri House Crime Prevention and Public Safety Committee is considering a measure to legalize recreational marijuana. Representative Chris Kelly, a former judge, opposed legalization until he served on the bench. Quote, "I saw too many young people whose lives were ruined by using small amounts of marijuana," end quote, said Kelly. Legislators, wooed by today's news of $2.1 million in Colorado marijuana taxes in 1 month, heard estimates that Kelly's plan would generate $200 million in revenues per year starting in 2016. The proposal would legalize household possession of 8 plants, a pound of bud, 1 pound of edibles, 2.25 quarts of infused liquids, and 1 ounce of extracts. Medical use would also be addressed, marijuana convictions could be expunged, and licensed cultivators and dispensaries would operate with a 25% excise tax. The Republicans who run the committee weren't supportive of the legalization, but seemed open to the medical provisions of the bill. The Los Angeles City Attorney claims to have shut down over 100 dispensaries. Under the recently passed Proposition D, which required the over 700 Los Angeles area dispensaries to comply with distance requirements from parks, schools, daycare facilities, and gave preference to the dispensaries that had registered under previous ordinances. However, despite the City Attorney explaining, quote, "If they've opened for the first time since 2013, they can't be lawful under Proposition D," end quote, he also has no plans to stop the city finance department from issuing registrations to dispensaries for paying business taxes. According to their records, in the time they've shut down 100 dispensaries, 200 new ones have applied for tax registrations. though they aren't necessarily open and operating. Dispensary attorneys are crying foul, saying the city is sowing confusion and should only be issuing tax registrations to those dispensaries that actually qualify to operate legally under Proposition D. The Washington, D.C. Board of Elections has given the go-ahead for signature gatherers to collect petitions for marijuana legalization. Despite warnings from the city attorney general that such a measure would conflict with federal law, activists may now collect the over 25,000 signatures necessary to put the measure on the November ballot. The initiative, if passed, would legalize the possession of 2 ounces and cultivation of 3 plants for all adults 21 and older. Adults could transfer up to 1 ounce to each other for no remuneration, and the initiative sets no regulations for the sales of marijuana through storefronts. DC already voted to decriminalize possession of 1 ounce with just a $25 civil fine, and support in the district for outright legalization stands at 63% in the latest Washington Post poll. The initiative would be subject to the veto power of the U.S. Congress, which has final say over all operations in the federal district. A new study from Rand Corporation prepared for the White House shows a steady increase in marijuana use, users, and spending over the 2000s. 11 million Americans used marijuana at least once per week in 2000. That number is 17 million in 2010. Overall, drug spending nationally has remained steady at $109 billion, but that spending has drastically shifted from cocaine to marijuana. In 2000, cocaine spending was twice marijuana spending. In 2010, marijuana spending is 50% greater than cocaine spending. Heroin use and spending has remained steady, and meth peaked in 2005, then drastically dropped. Despite the 6 million more pot smokers and twice the metric tons of marijuana consumed in the 2000s, the population of cocaine and meth users have declined, and heroin users have remained steady. So much for that gateway drug. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines of California's Senate Bill 1262, the proposal to regulate medical marijuana statewide. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Mary, marijuana.
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on the Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's Earlywine, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Hemp Radio, starring Patty Cakes, from Orange County, California, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, and behind the headlines today, California cops and cities have submitted medical marijuana regulations you probably won't like. This is introduced by Senator Lou Correa. I'm not exactly sure of the pronunciation. SB 1262, and it's a set of regulations for the medical marijuana industry that are sponsored by, and in California lingo, that means written by, the California Police Chiefs Association and the League of California Cities. The two groups that have vigorously fought any efforts to regulate medical marijuana in the past. But with the rising tide of people's support for medical and support for legalization, they're kind of in a bind, and they think that if they don't do something, eventually we are going to. Covina Police Chief Kim Rainey, who's the president of the association, said, quote, over 90% of the chiefs felt that, regardless of how you felt about the marijuana issue itself, there needed to be a responsible public safety approach to this, end quote. Okay, so you want to hear their responsible public safety approach to medical marijuana. Here are some of the points I found in the SB 1262. Any city or county can outright ban medical marijuana dispensaries. Of course, that's already established by the decisions of Riverside versus Inland Empire and County of LA versus Hill. They just re-emphasize that in the legislation. Number two, a doctor must have a bona fide relationship with the patient in order to write a medical marijuana recommendation. That's the idea of, you know, getting rid of doc in a tent, you know, where you just meet the guy for the first time and you're getting your rec. Number three, a recommendation must instruct the patient on how much marijuana to use, what type of marijuana to use by its THC and CBD levels, and whether it should be smoked, vaped, drank, or eaten. And the physician also must explain why a particular strain was chosen for the patient. Okay, so this will be fun because we don't have that data. No, nobody really knows. This is kind of, you know, that's why the freedom to choose different strains and experiment, let patients figure out what works for them is why this is so important. We're talking about something that has different effects on different patients at different times. Sometimes different effects on the same patient, you know, so there's a lot of experimentation that's needed here. There's no way a physician could particularly pinpoint upon, there's just the data's not there. All right, here's another point. Under no circumstances shall a physician recommend butane hash oil. Basically, this would get, you know, eliminate BHO in California. The physician must explain the side effects of marijuana, and if recommending smoking marijuana, the physician must explain why that was chosen over other methods and must explain the health risks of smoking. The bill would, if the patient is a minor, the physician must also explain why using marijuana justifies the, quote, possible neurological damage that could be caused, end quote. The recommendation must also be approved by a pediatrician, you know, second opinion, and the recommendation can only be for high CBD, non-smoked forms of marijuana. SB 1262 also would have physicians being forced to report how many recommendations they make to the California Medical Board, and any physician who writes more than 100 shall be audited by the California Medical Board. The Medical Board will also adopt a certification procedure for medical marijuana doctors that includes training in combating substance abuse. So presumably, if you don't go and get your medical marijuana doctor registration, you wouldn't be able to recommend it. I can't speak for sure on that, but that's what it seems like to me. Oh, and any doctor that breaks these rules would be subject to a $5,000 fine. I presume that would be per incident. The state will develop standards for quality testing on medical marijuana, including a ban on all non-organic pesticides. I can live with that one. That's not so bad. Licensed dispensaries and cultivation sites will be created with mandatory security measures, including video-recorded evidence of weighed, inventoried marijuana at the cultivation site that must be re-weighed, re-inventoried, and re-video-recorded at the dispensary within 8 hours of its arrival. Okay. Number 12 here. County health department inspectors can enter the dispensary or cultivation site during business hours and, quote, other reasonable times, end quote, to inspect, cite, sample, photograph, and seize records to ensure compliance. And of course, any violation of the dispensary and cultivation site rules is subject to a $35,000 fine per violation. Okay. Well, of course, advocates would prefer the bill that Tom Ammiano and Senator Steinberg and Leno had. But Lynn Lyman, California director for the Drug Policy Alliance, says her group is, quote, very encouraged by law enforcement coming to the table with their proposals, and we think we can all work together and come up with some model legislation in the state, end quote. I'll have that posted at High Times probably tomorrow if you want to read up on that. And I'll give you the links to the bill text. You can read it for yourself. Look it up.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I'll say little recalling. Darling, your words to fails. Little red carpet, you need a love that's gonna lay
on the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And for today's Daily Toker Tune on Electric Tuesday, we've got a group called Solar Stone, and the song is called Voyager. I know nothing about the group or the song, and we don't have Electric Bob on the phone right now. So I'm going to take this time to remind you all to make sure to check your local listings for CNN. Tonight, Sanjay Gupta debuts his new documentary, Weed 2, Cannabis Madness. It's the madness over cannabis, not that cannabis is mad. But anyway, it's basically the follow-up to his groundbreaking August documentary on called Weed, where we all learned about Charlotte Feige and so forth. And he says he's doubling down on medical marijuana, is going to show more patients and more breadth of patients that are using THC, you know, that have various ailments, so that people don't get stuck on the idea that it's just constituents, that it's just one part. In fact, I was reading today a piece that was posted in promotion for this documentary, dealing with the story of Dr. Raphael Meshulam out in Israel, who discovered the constituent of marijuana that gets you high. He discovered THC. And it went on to describe Dr. Mashulam explaining how Marinol didn't work because the patients found it was better to work with these various cannabinoids in concert with each other. They call it the entourage effect in this article. You can look it up on CNN, the entourage effect, I think it was called. But anyway, this is boding very well for our movement, of course, as more education gets out there and from a trusted source like Dr. Sanjay Gupta. We are going to see ripples from this for the next few months, I guarantee it. Check it out. It's on tonight here locally in West Coast time zone. It's 7 p.m. That's coming on CNN on cable. Check your listings out there for when it'll be debuting. I'm sure it'll be repeating as well. All right, let's get to our Electric Tuesday music. And when we come back, we'll have a little bit of drug war data mining. Stick around.
Constantly changing and explosive. Little wonder that our star, the Sun, has been the focal point of scientific investigation for centuries.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. 420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Funky Roll the Ring. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night. The doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, baby.
Oh yeah.
Groove on.
For marijuana legalization has never been easier. Thanks to your tax dollars, state and local governments have compiled massive databases of studies, polls, and surveys that prove legalization beats prohibition. And they're all just a mouse click away. Join us now for another lesson in drug war data mining.
Welcome back, everybody. 30 past the hour. And for today's drug war data mining, we're going to be taking a look at references for laws. And that has to do a lot with what we were talking about earlier, California Senate Bill 1262, trying to make a law. And how did I get all that information? You know, how do I know what's in that bill? I'll show you how to find that kind of stuff. Also, coming up in the Radical Rant, we're going to talk about initiatives and getting them on the ballot. And it might be good if you're going to try to get something on the ballot to take a look at the history of initiatives and find what has worked and what hasn't worked. And what sort of references do we have for that information? And what sort of references do we have for the existing laws out there on legalization, decriminalization, and medical marijuana so that we can copy and paste and crib from what works here and what works there? Let's take a look at some of that in today's drug war data mining. We're going to start off today. And by the way, if you're in our chat room, you can follow along. I'm going to turn the links on and I'll be posting the same links that I'm using. You can follow along if you like, and you can get these sites bookmarked. The first one I want to take a look at is called Ballotpedia, you know, like Wikipedia, right? And this is a website at which they keep track of every ballot initiative, every for any subject, not just marijuana, that has been entered. And it's an open source thing, so people are adding to it constantly. There is one specific page you can get to, which is the Marijuana Initiatives page. It's marijuana_initiatives, and I've posted the link in the chat room. And it's marijuana on the ballot. And as we scroll through it, what's nice about it is you can see the ballot measures based on the state they're from or which year they were proposed. I'll zoom out just a little bit here. And also you can take a look at the ones that did not make the ballot. So scrolling through these, looking by state, you can see all the attempts made in Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, Ohio, Oregon, South Dakota, Washington, and Wyoming. And you can see if you're looking at some of the dates on the screen, like this one, the Wyoming Marijuana Legalization Initiative for 2016. So things that are being proposed for the future are there as well. We look at our state of Washington, the Washington Marijuana Decrim Initiative, 685 in 1997. Give us a click on that and we can find out what happened in 1997. It was initiative 685. It was defeated. It lost 60-40. It lost 60% to 40%. And this was decriminalization in 1997. Other links will give you the text of the measure, shall penalties for drug possession, how it was filed, how many signatures it needed, other links. And oftentimes it will take you to links, for example, for the Secretary of State's office and the official election results from that state, news reports about the issue, and so forth. Hitting the back button, we'll see more Washington State, the Initiative 692, the Medical Marijuana Initiative in Washington State, and how it was approved and passed 59-41, pretty much. So there you have it. When you want to look up any of these initiatives, you can usually find them here at Ballotpedia, whether they're existing ones or new ones coming up on the ballot. The Oregon Legalized Marijuana Initiative for 2014 is here in Ballotpedia. Trying to collect 87,213 valid signatures by July 3rd. And again, back at the original source, we don't have to be limited by picking them out by state. If you're interested in a more historical look, you can go by year. And that way, all the pending 2014 and 2016 and, well, actually, yeah, the 2014 and 2016 initiatives are there. So there's Alaska's legalization measure that has made the ballot, Florida's medical marijuana initiative that has made the ballot, and the rest that are still trying to make the ballot. We also have the list of initiatives that did not make the ballot. And these are just alphabetized. So we can see, you know, the various California acts that didn't make the ballot and the Idaho Medical Choice Act that didn't make it. Oregon's ballot measure in 2008, legalization in 2012, 2010, these various ones that didn't make the ballot. So I've found that through my time working in this, that Ballotpedia has been pretty invaluable as far as a reference for getting information about the history and the various ballot measures. It's a great place to start. Now, another thing you can do, of course, is just use the power of Google. And oftentimes when you're using Google, the key to it is understanding what is the word that, you know, the special word that's going to get you where you want to go. A lot of times when people are looking up for an initiative, they'll, you know, the legalization initiative or whatever, it really helps if you know the name of the bill. So, for example, we had the rant or the behind the headlines earlier on the California Senate Bill 1262. So if you go California Senate Bill 1262, that'll probably get you where you need to go. But one extra little word you add can make your search go so much faster, and that's the word text. Bill text. And that usually finds you a link that's going to get you where you want to go. You see the word text in that particular link. First thing that comes up, Senate Bill 1262, and there I am looking at the law that is being proposed by the cops, the police, the police chiefs, and the League of Cities, or whatever the hell it's called. And this can be done for lots of bills, but again, you have to really know what the bill is, what the bill's number is. What if you don't know? Well, just about any state is going to have a .gov website, and it's probably going to be their state abbreviation. Like in California, it's ca.gov, and then it might have something before it, legislature or something else, but you don't have to know that. Just give your state abbreviation and the .gov part a shot. For example, I'm going to try ga.gov. Let's see if we can find anything on that medical marijuana bill in Georgia. ga.gov. Now, you'll notice how it kind of redirected. It said, oh, well, that's georgia.gov. You'll see that happen in lots of states. Lots of states are smart enough to know that people are going to try the two letters, and then it's going to send them back to the site that they really want you at. Then you got to try to find out, you know, where it is. All right, where's, well, elected officials, maybe I could try that. Is there anything here about laws? And this is where people get kind of scared sometimes, especially if they're, you know, not too adept at surfing the internet and looking around all these different things. But usually on these websites, there's going to be something that's a search, and it's going to have like a magnifying glass or the word search next to it. It's usually a white box. It's good web designers usually put it toward the top or toward the right hand side. And all you got to do is just try to find information there. Now, rather than trying to find the exact bill, I might start by trying to find the legislature. So let's just try legislature. And a link comes up below that saying the Georgia General Assembly. But I went and pressed enter too quickly. So let's try that again. Legislature. We'll go back. And when I typed in legislature there, there's that Georgia General Assembly. That's going to give me, aha, the website, legis.ga.gov. So sometimes it takes some clicking, but generally you can find your state's legislature. Here's one that has a search trying to find for a bill, but again, you don't know the bill number, so try this advanced search. Ah, okay, we're at our regular session for all members, all committees. Lots of stuff sitting around here, but on these advanced search sites, oftentimes it's a kind of, you know, just fill in what you want in one or two boxes. You don't have to worry about all of them, right? What are we looking for? Well, we're looking for marijuana. So let's not worry about who the member is or what committee it is or what code or what bill or any numbers. We'll just put marijuana. See what happens. Give that a search. And it's going blazingly fast. Here we go. Here's a uniform civil forfeiture procedure, controlled substances for drug-free zones, law enforcement reproduction of arrest, juvenile proceedings, etc. Crimes. Aha! Medical cannabis, continuing research into benefits to treat certain conditions. House Bill 885. And before you know it, you're there at the bill. You'll have links to open up the bill to read more about it. Finally, for drug war data mining today, we'll take a look at another site. And this is one that I found very valuable, particularly in the study of medical marijuana laws and their limits and their provisions. Sometimes some person will ask, hey, is my card valid in whatever state, Michigan or Arizona or whatever? Here's a site where you can answer those kind of questions fairly quickly. It's called medicalmarijuana.procon.org. And I'll post that in the chat room as well. Medicalmarijuana.procon.org. And this is an independent site that has tried to catalog both the pro and con. And they'll have sites for that, you know, pros and cons and did you know and historical timeline. But I've found on the right sidebar, very useful right here, 20 legal medical marijuana states and DC. And right below it, 15 states with pending legislation to legalize medical marijuana. So if you check the 20 states, you'll have a summary chart. You'll have details giving you, here's the all the states, the year, what proposition it was or what house bill it was, what the costs are to register, what your plant and usable marijuana limits are. Do you accept other states' registry ID cards? Arizona, Delaware. Oops, went too fast, sorry. Arizona, Delaware, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island are the states that will take cards from any other state. And as you scroll down, there's more detail on every single state. So there's an Alaska set, there's an Arizona set, and links to the original ballot propositions, links to their qualifying patient frequently asked questions. On the other link, 15 states with pending legislation to legalize medical marijuana shows us links to all of them. Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin. Pretty amazing when you think of it that way. We've got 15 states now, a lot of them in the South, and here's links to their different ballot initiatives to legalize medical marijuana. So there you have it, folks. That's our drug war data mining for today. I hope you got a lot of good references and links and information out of those sites. Remember, this is stored in our archives at 420radio.org. Just look for the link in the menu there for the archives, and you'll be able to find all the saved shows. You can also find them on YouTube at the Radical Russ channel. And just remember, it starts at half past, so just fast forward to 30 after. All right, folks, stick around. We'll have time for a radical rant. Your true legalization don't mean diddly if you don't get on the ballot. Be right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Damn. Hey. How did she get home? Man, I was so high, I didn't... Are we cool? Tim, you know me. That's not me.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Your true legalization don't mean a thing if it ain't on the ballot. Last night, I was up quite late. In fact, it was like till 4 in the morning, I believe. Engaged in a 140 character at a time discussion over Twitter with the account of CCHI 2014. That would be the California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. The otherwise known as the Jack Herer Initiative. And they were very, very upset with me. Very upset with me. And I can't remember what was the original quote point they were upset about. Let's see if I can find it here in the list. It was the Ganja Queen, who was someone else I'd been arguing with, pointing out that 56% of California would vote for the CCHI 2014 if it made the ballot. 56%. Now, she's referring to a poll. They polled specifically on CCHI, and it got 56%. You know, kind of like how Prop 19 was getting polls in the 55s and the 56s, you know, months and months and months before it made the ballot. So anyway, this, you know, read the poll, December 10th, 2013. 56% of California would vote for CCHI, okay? And my reply to that was, yes, 96% of men would vote for free blowjob Mondays if it was on the ballot. Your point? I mean, CCHI isn't on the ballot and won't be. And that's where things blew up. That's where CCHI got involved. And so I just wanted to cover some of these things. And the number one point that I'm trying to get under people's skulls here is winning elections costs money. Period. You got to have the money. I don't care what your plan is. I like CCHI. Hell, I love CCHI. 99 plants, 12 pounds, free all the pot prisoners, $10 pot taxes. Hell yeah, that's awesome. But it don't mean diddly if it ain't on the ballot. And I have been involved now with these grassroots legalization efforts for like 8 years now and see so many good people with great intentions who want freedom banging their heads against the wall trying to come up with the perfect legalization that they like and not getting anywhere with it because it's not the legalization that 50% plus one of the voters like, or it's not the legalization that people who can fund these things and have political pull like. Now, I bring this up and I get all sorts. First of all, I get all sorts of ad hominem stuff coming back at me. You should be called conservative Russ. Yeah, what was the other one? I can't remember. It doesn't matter, right? I get a lot of this, you know, ad hominem, and I just keep coming back and asking the question. Why is there no money? All right, so if there is 56% support, and this is the ballot measure that everyone wants, why doesn't it have money? Why isn't it on the ballot? And this is where they'll come back and say, now the next part that comes along in the Twitter war was the demonization of Ethan Nadelman. Oh, Ethan Nadelman doesn't want it. Ethan Nadelman wants corporate control. Ethan Nadelman only wants 6 plants and 1 ounce. Ethan Nadelman, as if he's some sort of demon. First of all, I know Ethan Nadelman. I've known him for years now. Ethan Nadelman wants as much freedom as the rest of us want. But what Ethan Nadelman wants is to be able to turn to people with 2 commas in their bank accounts, maybe even 3, and say, hey, if you give me 6, 7 figures of money, I'll see that it isn't wasted. I'll see that something actually happens. And in order to do that, he consults experts and polls and talks to legislators and figures out, you know, various game plans and tries to figure out which one's going to work. And apparently he looks at CCHI and sees something that ain't going to work. Now, is he right? Don't know. Don't know. It could be absolutely wrong. Does it matter? In this real world, you need money. You need people like an Ethan Nadelman or a Rob Campia, or every marijuana initiative that has passed, has made the ballot and passed. Every one of them has been funded by a corporate billionaire. Peter Lewis, John Sperling, George Zimmer, and George Soros, for the most part. 4 billionaires. And yet, they'll come back at me with these rants about corporate control and monopolies and, oh, the corporations and the 1% and the elites. Okay, I'm a little sympathetic to those arguments. Aside from these 4 elites who passed every helped pass every medical marijuana law, including the cherished Prop 215, which was going down in flames until 3 of those billionaires stepped up and got the funding for the signature gathering. But aside from those 4 elites, what happens when one of the initiatives that actually made the ballot to legalize gets there without one of the elites? What happens when it's an actual one of us, an actual marijuana grower, an actual marijuana patient, and not a patient, but an actual patient, a guy in a wheelchair, a guy who starts with nothing and builds it up in the community? Builds it up and builds up enough money, $1.5 million, his life savings, and gets marijuana legalization on the ballot. Let's see, how did they treat him? Yeah, that was Richard Lee with Prop 19 in 2010, and they vilified him. They called him a corporatist. They said he was setting up a marijuana monopoly in Oakland. Folks, you want to know what this marijuana monopoly is? It's the monopoly of people who have enough business acumen, business sense, business plan, funders, and sense to be able to operate in a legitimate business market. That's what it is. It's the bleating of people who've been getting by in a no tax, no regulation, all profit, prohibition price world, who see they won't be able to compete in legit business world, filing taxes, following regulations, like the rest of people have had to do in their businesses for all time. And when they want to say I'm conservative, Russ, you want to say I'm not radical enough, I say there's nothing more radical than standing up right now and calling bullshit on some of the woo-woo, fairy dust, pixie pie in the sky notions that so many people in the marijuana movement who are calling themselves leaders and asking people to donate their time and their effort and their reputations, when time after time after time after time after time, the same thing happens. They get together to write the perfect initiative. They say, gosh, if only X number of people give Y amount of money, or gosh, if only X number of signature gatherers gather Y number of signatures. Folks, any legalization proposal that starts with if X number of people do Y is going to fail. That is what I have seen throughout this history of marijuana reform initiatives that I've been tracking. Now, the ones that passed. Let's take a look at those. You got Colorado, Amendment 64. Pot people wrote it, along with a state that had fairly well regulated pot. Although by California standards, they would scream. By Washington standards, they would scream, oh my God, in Colorado, you only get 2 ounces. You only get six plants. Oh my God. But no, in Colorado, they bore the brunt of it. They said, well, shit, you know, we'll do our six plants, but fuck, how are they ever going to know if I have more? Really, as long as I keep my nose clean, it's not any worse than when it was illegal, and now I got even more cover. They kind of played it smart, went along with regulation, made sure everybody was getting a piece of the pie, getting some money, and when pot people, pot smokers, were able to write a legalization, an amendment in Colorado, they were able to get it passed fairly easily without having to include per se DUID, without having to take out the home grow provisions of it. And you have an initiative in Washington written by an alcohol drinker, whose significant other is a bartender, and to be controlled by a liquor control board. Why is this person writing legalization? Because the pot smokers there couldn't get their shit together enough. They were still playing woo-woo, you know, worshiping Jack Herer, and not getting shit done. Now look, Jack Herer's a great guy. Opened a lot of people's minds to marijuana and its potential. Never got a damn thing on the ballot, though. Tried hard, but the reality is you gotta have money, you gotta have compromise, you gotta have leadership. And I'm just getting too old, and I got too many friends in too many red states that are fighting their ass off for the merest of protections. And I have to go see them and visit them across the country, and they look at me like, oh my God, what the hell is wrong with California? What the hell is wrong with Washington? And I don't know what to tell them. I mean, it's just, you know, embarrassment of riches, you know, their own bounty. I don't know. So this corporate idea, this monopoly idea, the marijuana is going to become corporate. We don't want it to become corporate. Define the term, please. What does that mean? Become corporate. I'm having a hard time imagining any value commodity on the planet that is not produced, bought, and sold by corporations. Now, do you mean corporate monopoly? Let's put the two buzzwords together. Corporate monopoly. That only corporations will be able to grow marijuana. Right. You know, like now, how governments can ban us from growing pot and it's impossible for us to do so. The corporation's no more evil than the government. In fact, less evil, because the corporation doesn't want to put you in prison. Doesn't want to take your liberty, doesn't want to ruin your life, just wants to make a buck. And I firmly believe that weed, being what it is, a weed, will be damn hard to corporatize. Now, it's not to say there won't be corporations making money on weed. Of course there will. A lot of us are going to like the convenience of buying a prepackaged set of joints or whatever. We're going to love it. We're going to like that. But plenty of people are still going to grow their own. And they may grow it clandestinely, just like they do now. So what's the difference to you if you're an illegal grower right now growing for yourself? What's the difference to you? Now, if you're an illegal grower growing for yourself and growing enough to sell on the side, make more money, yeah, now we have a problem. But again, how's that going to get any worse? Well, because your prices are going to drop, isn't it? That's really got to be the only fear. It's not like your risk is going up. You still have the same risk of getting busted, right? Of course, maybe it's less of a risk because instead of getting busted growing and selling a contraband item, you're just busted for growing and selling without a license. Perhaps it's not as bad. So it's not as if your risk went up any. The only complaint I can see here from the person who's growing illegally now is that it will cut into your profits. And sorry, your profits aren't worth people going to prison. I'm sorry. Mostly black and Latino people going to prison. The other point is this crowing over this 56% poll. Oh, we polled CCHI and they got 56% statewide. Great, fantastic. So it should have been easy to raise money for it, right? 56% in one poll is 56% in one poll. I can show you a lot of above 50% and even reaching 60% polls for Prop 19 that plummeted as soon as attack ads came out. And can you imagine the attack ads you could use against CCHI? That's some of the thinking that goes into these initiatives. All right, that's all the time I got for now, but Hey, if you disagree, give me a call. That's what we're here for. We're talking about marijuana, and all points of view are welcome. It's 971-533-7111. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.